So today at communion, let's remember Jesus, guided by the words of God in Titus chapter 3, Titus 3 verses 4 through 7. So open your Bibles there, Titus 3, 4 through 7. So thus far in the book, Paul has commanded Titus to remind the people of Crete to live righteously, to do good works, how to live in light of their salvation. And Paul consistently tethers his admonishment to do good. He tethers it to the good news of Jesus' grace toward them. So as I read, I want you to look for the three persons of the Trinity at work in our salvation. Titus 3, 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So Titus 3, 4 through 7, it's really just one long, complex sentence. We're not even going to get to scratch the surface of it. But look down, what is the heart of that sentence? What is the main subject? What's the main verb? What's the heart of the gospel? Do you see it? It's in verse 5. He, God, saved us. Christian, God saved us. Look down at these verses again. What part do we play? Look really hard. And you're going to be looking for a really long time. Because the story of salvation is the story of God at work. If you remember nothing else this morning, remember Jesus in communion by remembering that God saved us. Worship. Worship. That statement, God saved us. You might have a tendency to hear it and say, all right, what's next? I want more. Don't do that. Worship. God saved us. Holy God saved sinful us. Verse 4. When did he do it? When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, God saved us. Jesus is God's goodness and loving kindness incarnated. And God's saving was accomplished when he appeared in time, born in order to die on the cross for our sins. So when the goodness and loving kindness of God appeared in Jesus, God saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness. No, Paul is explicit and emphatic in his contrast. Right? Not by works done by us in righteousness, but how? Look down. Works done to achieve righteousness before God are unworthy, but rather, right standing before God comes as a gift, not as a result of works. So, God saved us according to his own mercy. Again, this is all about God. God saved us by washing and regeneration, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, all of the Trinity is at work here. And it was according to God's mercy that he saves us, the unrighteous. And he saves us by washing us, by renewing us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And this renewal, right, this spiritual change, it's not some vague spiritual change disconnected from history, some experience that we hope to attain. No, it is rooted in the objective, historical act where God took on flesh and God the Son hung on a tree, God's goodness, loving kindness, and grace incarnate. He appeared there and gave his life for us on the cross. And right, God saved us not because of righteousness, yet when he saves us to make us righteous. He justifies us. Do you see that in verse 7? That term justified, right? God contrasted our works of righteousness as not being sufficient. Rather, it's his mercy that saves us. But now he declares, he makes us righteous, being justified, right? We are saved. When we are saved, we are declared righteous, yet our salvation has nothing to do with our works of righteousness. Again, this is all about God. Listen, every single one of us, all of humanity, right, to the man, woman, child, every one of us, no matter how good we may appear, we're a group of sinners. Paul described that just before this. And we have no righteousness of our own that is worthy to bring us to God. So if we have any hope of eternal life, what is it? As you remember Jesus in communion this morning, make sure that your hope for eternal life is not at all grounded in your own performance. Right? No rule keeping, no good deeds, no religious effort will merit eternal life. And I promise you, the flesh within you will constantly be trying to smuggle merit into this gospel. You will sit down this morning and want to take the bread and juice thoughtlessly, saying, I had a pretty good week. I prayed well. I read my Bible. Didn't do any of those gross sins. Or maybe you'll say, I'm not worthy of this. Look at what I did this week. Your heart, your flesh will want to smuggle merit into this gospel that's all about God, not about us. Right? So if your own, so no rule keeping, no good deeds, no religious effort will merit eternal life. In fact, hoping in your own righteousness actually disqualifies you from receiving that eternal life. Only one righteousness is sufficient. It's the righteousness of God himself. And by grace, not works, through faith, God saves sinners who despair in their own righteousness and trust in his, so that being justified by grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So if you don't believe, if you're hoping in some other righteousness, if you're hoping in your own good works, if you're hoping in your religious efforts, or hoping that you're just not that bad, if you're hoping in anything other than the justifying work of Jesus Christ on the cross on your behalf, if you're not a Christian, please let the bread and juice pass. But why not rather believe? Believe and be saved. Now, Christian, as you consider Jesus' work to save you, remember him through taking the bread and juice. Worship him. And where there's sin, repent. Walk consistent with that renewed person you've become through the Holy Spirit. But make sure that this morning, after you've examined yourself, you get your eyes off yourself and put them firmly back on the cross, back on Jesus, who this is a meal to remember. So take communion in remembrance of him as an expression of your trust in the sufficiency of God's justifying, renewing, life-giving salvation through Jesus Christ.